Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, December 22nd, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And I hope you're doing well, Brian.
I am, man.
Awesome. And it's great to have you here. And also, Dave Hamilton, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's I'm feeling all warm and fuzzy because you guys are here today. I'm also feeling a little warm and fuzzy because Tim Cook is kind of going to bat for us again.
And yep.
Yep, which leads us right into the first thing I wanted to talk about today. So for a little bit of background, the UK, they have their bill that they are currently debating that would require companies like Apple and Google and Microsoft to put backdoors into all of the encryption that they give us as end users, so that the government could get in whenever they deem it necessary and appropriate, and decrypt whatever our communications are or our personal data, under the guise of protecting our safety and making sure that we are safe from terrorist attacks and protect us from criminal activity, which seems like a very noble goal. However, the problem is we end up with this backdoor that now pretty much anyone can use.
And we'll just make the bad guys do something else.
Right. Right. And so now Tim Cook and Apple have come out publicly and officially in opposition to the UK's bill. And Tim Cook has said that this is a bad idea. And if you put the key under the mat, the key is there for everyone. And has said that doing this and eroding our privacy and our security will have a very negative effect on hundreds of millions of people, without having much of any impact at all on the people this bill is designed to protect us from.
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand. Is where is I feel like the burden of proof to support something like this needs to be on the side of why we firmly believe and can demonstrate how this backdoor is going to help us. I mean, simply saying, thank goodness we have a backdoor, that I get that makes uninformed people feel good, but that's not, I realized I was going to say that's not the reason laws are made. That's exactly the reason laws are made in many cases, and yes, that's unfortunate. But that's not a good reason to make laws.
No,
and I'm glad that Tim Cook and Apple, and really, I mean, not just Apple, but many technology companies, unfortunately not all of them, are pushing on this. But that, I mean, it seems to me, why is it up to them to prove why it's a bad idea? We need to be a little smarter about this.
Right. And what we're seeing right now from, in this case, the UK government, are statements, and I'm paraphrasing.
Sure.
This is not going to impact security. This is not going to impact people's privacy. This is all just about protecting everyone. Don't worry. It's all fine.
Yeah, which is just, yeah, it's, the whole thing is nonsense. I mean, we've talked about this topic. Well,
maybe it's not nonsense, right? I mean, maybe there's something that they could say, hey, look, you haven't thought about this. And then we'd all say, but we need to hear that first.
We do. And I'm
sorry,
not,
Brian, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, yes, Brian, you were talking. Go ahead.
It's nonsense.
Okay. It's nonsense.
Well said.
And we've talked about this several times. We've talked about this on probably every podcast that we've been on. We've written about this a lot. And of course, lots of other people have talked about this and written about this as well. The security experts all call it nonsense. Apple is essentially calling it nonsense. I mean, the politicians have the information they need to not be idiots about this, and yet they want apparently to be idiots, and it's super frustrating.
I agree, it is frustrating, and adding to that frustration is the what I assume to be fact that the people that these laws are designed to protect us from are just going to switch to other systems that are outside the government's control.
They are already using other systems. I mean, they know. Listen, if we're going to do something that's, you know, nefarious, are we going to use iMessage to do that? Even though we know iMessage is end-to-end encrypted, or are we going to use some app that, like, say, we developed to do this? Or some app that's developed by, like, security and privacy maniacs to do this? And Apple might begin to fall into the category of security and privacy maniacs at some point, or maybe already. But there's people that are seen as more maniacal about security than Apple. And they build apps that do this kind of communication. So where do you draw that line?
Yeah, putting together an encrypted text messaging app at this point is something that a semi-competent coder could do in less than a day.
Yes.
Surely.
Yes.
There's just enough open source stuff out there.
That's it, right. All the stuff. And frankly, open source is what you'd want to use because it's already been vetted by everyone and you know there's no backdoor, right? So, you know, Apple stuff, believe it or not, is closed source. I mean, it's been audited, right? But still, you know, it they're not just leaving the iMessage code out there, to my knowledge. Maybe they are. I know it's been audited, but I know that, you know, there's other stuff that's just constantly audited and refined in the public. So, yeah, this stuff's not going away. This Pandora's box is opened. Why are we trying to legislate shutting a corner of it?
Yeah. Well, my assumption is that the people that want to do this simply don't understand. And in some cases, maybe they're incapable of understanding. And they're just going with a knee-jerk reaction, which actually does happen a lot when you're making laws, especially when it's emotional.
Yeah.
And right now we're dealing with the aftermath of some pretty big terrorist attacks and ongoing terrorist attacks. And that's a pretty big motivator for people to do something so they feel like they've made themselves safe.
That's right.
And don't forget, too, the role of law enforcement here, because law enforcement in this case, both, you know, local law enforcement or as well as the intelligence services, they're feeling the pressure to be able to solve this. And one of the things that they just keep coming up against is, well, we can't get into this device. Right. And so they're putting a lot of the pressure, certainly here in the States. I don't know much about the UK's internal politics on this, but they're putting here in the States pressure on the politicians to get these tools because just as a byproduct of the frustrations of trying to keep the people protected. But right. So I'm saying, you know, if you're a politician and you're hearing this from law enforcement, because maybe law enforcement isn't thinking it all the way through, that's gonna weigh on your mind. I mean, there are a lot of different forces involved here.
Yes, it's true.
Yes,
it's true. But yeah. I mean, I always say follow the money, and I mean, I suppose that's true in this case too. Is, you know, people looking to protect their jobs and doing things that, you know, it's one thing to, even if said politician understands the difference, it's okay. Do I want to be the one that puts my career on the line to hopefully explain to the masses why it's stupid for us to do this? Or is it better if I look like I'm just representing the masses and saying we must do this? And
well,
from either
a job
one could backfire.
Standpoint, yeah,
yeah, because one of them is difficult, and the other is chosen ignorance.
Yeah,
and so I mean, either could backfire, but you know, you weigh them both, and it's like, you know, that chosen ignorance one, that's worked for a lot of people before me.
Yeah, there's another thing that occurred to me just now. So we had the crypto wars of the 90s, right, involving you know, CPU level encryption and stuff.
The Clipper chip.
Yep.
Yeah, things like that. And pretty much the side of sanity and reality won that particular fight, mostly.
Sure.
But if you jump ahead to the aftermath of 9/11, companies like AT&T and I think Verizon both were all too happy to give the government inside access to all of our communications.
Right.
Right. So there's a bit of a track record here of some corporations willingly cooperating and in a way that quite frankly violates our privacy. So there is at least some reason for politicians to be asking for this, because they've gotten some of this stuff in the past. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yep. Yeah. But okay. So let's go a different direction with this, because like you said, we've kind of gone down this path a few different ways. What happens if this becomes a law, right? Like, let's say Apple, you know, quote unquote loses. What happens then? I mean, is Apple going to put a back door in?
I don't see how they couldn't. Because if they were to grandstand and say, if you make us put a back door in, then we're going to stop selling products in your country.
Yeah.
Well, they've committed themselves, because if they decide, oh, we're actually going to sell products in the country, Apple has no leverage for anything in the future.
That's right.
But if they do pull their phones out of a whole country, then and Brian, this is something that I remember you bringing up at one point. Now they have a responsibility to shareholders, and they are being fiscally irresponsible.
Well, yeah, maybe. No, it could be argued. Yep. It could be argued right. They're being fiscally, because the counter argument would be that doing otherwise would have brought the most damage to the company. So Apple could, so you know, going back to Google and China, Google did the right thing, pulled out of China and redirected Chinese traffic to Hong Kong, which theoretically remains open. And Apple could do the same thing here, right? Apple could do the same thing with the UK. Apple could say, okay, fine, we're just not going to sell iPhones in the UK. And then, you know, politicians might start getting a little bit of pressure from voters. But what if...
That's true. I mean, that might actually work for Apple. And maybe that's part of, you know, how they're dipping their toe here is, hey, whoa, you know, voters want their iPhones more than they want their terrorists caught.
Go ahead, Dave.
Right? No, I mean, right? Isn't that that's a gamble somebody could take? And Apple.
It is a gamble somebody could take, but there's a huge risk here, because with China, with the issues that, you know, Microsoft and Google were both confronted with the same thing: censor search results, or you must censor search results. So Google's choice was to leave. Microsoft's choice was to censor. I think Yahoo chose to censor as well. Yep. But we're talking about China. It's one country. It's a huge country. Obviously, it's a big market. But there's probably not going to be the same call from any other country. In this particular case, with Apple and with encryption, the UK could do this, but Germany could follow suit, and the US could follow suit. And now what's Apple going to do? Is Apple going to pull out of the US? Is Apple going to, you know, so there's, you know, there's a domino thing that could happen. Making this a much harder situation than even Microsoft and Bing faced when it came to China.
It's going to be interesting.
Yes, it is. And once again, we're in a position where a major corporation is actually the champion of the average person.
A specific major corporation,
Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's good for their bottom line too.
Yes.
Totally.
This is.
Yeah, follow the money.
Yeah, follow the money. Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Apple's making a principled stand, but it's a principled stand that it's found a way to profit from.
Yes.
And has done so many times. That's right.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I am too. And now I'm looking forward to seeing how other companies follow Apple in this case. And I'm not saying like they just copy Apple, but Apple is one of the big companies that has come out and very publicly opposed what the UK is proposing. So, I mean, chronologically, what other companies are lining up to do the same? I'm looking forward to seeing who's on that list.
Right.
And, speaking of companies that are defending our privacy and encryption, that would be Apple. Listeners, if you want to help support us to make sure that that we have our podcasts on the air for you and that the articles that we write are on the web for you, then next time you need to buy your Apple products, use our special affiliate link, because we're going to get a little something back from Apple for your purchase. And you're not going to spend any more, but we're going to get a little something for that. So if you go to MacObserver.com/Apple Store, then go find your product from there. We'll get a little cut of that, which is awesome, because those little cuts add up over time. And then you'll also be able to find links to other affiliate programs that we have. So if there are other places that you're looking to buy stuff like Amazon, then we've got you covered. So check that out, MacObserver.com/Apple Store. And hey, we love that you guys support us. Listeners, you all rock. Okay.
Indeed.
So another thing that I wanted to take a look at today before we wrap up, and Dave, I think you can help with this. I have become so frustrated with the Facebook app on my iPhone and how it's just killing my battery that I finally gave up and deleted the app. And
you're not alone.
Yeah, I'm not alone. But word on the street is you have a way that can help me save my battery a little bit if I choose to leave Facebook installed.
Yeah, I've been experimenting, Jeff, and I've come to a conclusion. So the issue is, you know, with iOS 9, we can see how much of what percentage of our battery and the amount of time, in fact, that an app has been running both in the foreground and in the background. And many, many, many of us have noticed over time that the Facebook app tends to run lots and lots and lots in the background for seemingly no good reason. Mm-hmm. And based on what I've experimented with, I can say, in my experience, there's no reason it needs to be running in the background all the time, but it will. However, we all know that in iOS settings general, there's a background app refresh setting where per app, you can tell it whether or not you want to let it run in the background, or more specifically, run background app refresh. And we all thought, awesome, I'll just turn that off and that'll kill off this background battery usage. That's not so. And of course, we found that. It's important to understand what that background app refresh setting is, because it's important and it's one part of this two-pronged strategy to keeping Facebook from chewing your battery in the background while still having all the benefits of using the app when you want to. Turning off background app refresh does one thing and one thing only. It keeps the app from launching in the background without user input.
Okay.
Okay. So that's great because you don't want the app launching in the background. However, if it's already been launched, then it runs under a different set of rules in the background. And there's still rules, but they're much looser and more to the point outside of our control as users. So we can't tell it stop running in the background if you've already launched. And that's the issue. So there's, like I said, a two-pronged approach. Number one is to turn this off just so that it doesn't launch in the background. I'm not convinced that it would. In fact, I should probably test that too. But turning that off keeps it from ever doing that. And then number two is when we finish using Facebook, normally we're going to hit the home button on our iPhone to come back to the home screen. You have to do something a little different. Hit the home button twice and swipe up on the Facebook app. This quits it. And then because we've kept it from launching in the background, it can't relaunch. And here we are. And I've tested this. Actually, I've been testing this. I said for a couple of weeks. It's actually been about a month. And it works brilliantly. And it keeps the app from chewing all my battery and my battery life's better. But when I want to use the Facebook app, I still have all the benefits of doing so. I just have to be diligent about quitting it the right way.
Yeah, it's so offensive. We have to go through this.
I agree. Yes. Yeah. That doesn't. Right. I don't mean to take any blame off of anyone at Facebook. They need to fix this. But in terms
Apple
of
Apple needs to clamp down on it, too.
Yeah.
Seems like Facebook is doing something wrong.
I feel like they're operating outside of the rules that other app vendors have to use.
Yeah.
But I have seen other apps that do this too, for seemingly no good reason. So I don't know.
Well, for Facebook there is a good reason. Gathering more information about us.
I'm not convinced that's what it's doing in the background.
You don't think so?
No, and I don't want to spread misinformation. I don't think that's what it's doing at all. No.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, then what would it be doing?
Well, here's another example. The Sonos app for me runs in the background all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's good. Good point.
They're not gathering information. They don't have location services on. You know, it's like, what is it? And I've reported this to them, and they're actually like, whoa, it shouldn't be doing that. I'm like, yeah, I know. But that's the thing.
That's
is Apple
I'm telling you.
Like, yeah, and Apple, I don't think they're operating outside. You know, they aren't baked into the OS like Facebook is, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't – if somebody's operating outside of the rules, I would think maybe it's Facebook but not Sonos. And yet both of them, I'll see – 10 minutes of foreground usage and, 6 hours of background usage for either one of them. So,
yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But at least for now, we have a workaround thanks to your efforts, which is really cool. So maybe I'll reinstall Facebook and try your way.
Test it out. Yeah.
Using the app and see how long my battery lasts.
Sweet.
So cool. Thanks for the tip. That's awesome.
My pleasure. Yep.
All right, we are out of time. So, Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Yep, thanks for having us.
It's always awesome. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.